With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of All the Small Games. My name is Andrew Levins, and this is a podcast all about indie games. Usually, I would be introducing my co-host, Mr. Jonathan Valenzuela, and he would say something funny at this exact moment. It's great.
Nobody's happy with this situation.
Especially John. John mentioned a while ago that he was having a baby, and he can no longer say that because he has officially become a father. He has a new daughter. Olive is her name, and she's beautiful. I think he's going to have a week, maybe. He was like, I can come back next week. And I'm like, you don't know what it's like having a baby crying in your house at all times. Yeah. But
you never know how it's going to go. It's just, no, you just play it by ear. Play it week to week, you know what I mean, for the next 4 years.
So in John's absence, and to celebrate fatherhood in general, I've enlisted the help of one of the best dads in the world, loves being a dad more than any other job that he's got.
It's true.
You may know him from his YouTube channel, Mr. Sunday Movies, or his podcast, The Weekly Planet, and Suggestible. We have, as my co-host for this episode, surprise everyone, also an indie games fan, Mr. James Clement.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm glad I picked kind of indie games and video games as a hobby over music, because otherwise I just couldn't do this podcast. If you're like, come on, talk about music, I'll be like, I can't. I don't know any music anymore.
Yeah,
this is perfect.
I kind of have a music podcast too, so maybe I could just surprise this as a music podcast this week.
Hey man, I'll do it. If you want me to do it, I'll do it. It won't be good, but I'm committed to that.
Who's your favorite band of all time?
Of all time, geez. My brain just goes, just say Nirvana, but it's like, but that's not even true. And it's boring, do you know what I mean?
That's a fine answer.
So, yeah, I don't know. Can I think about it during the show?
So no one tunes out now. At the end of the episode, James will reveal his most favorite band of all time.
Fuck. I just like playlists now, so I don't even... Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
The pressure's on.
We should talk about indie games. It really is, yeah.
I messaged James last week and said, you know, what have you been playing lately? And what did you tell me you've been playing? Like some Resistance spinoff?
Oh, yeah. I've been going through... when they said they were closing down the PS Vita store and the PS3 store, I went into a panic and I just started buying up all these PS Vita games. And one of the ones that I bought years ago and I never finished was Killzone Mercenary, which, you know, the Killzone main series is like their first-person shooters that started on the PlayStation 2 and ended at the very beginning of the PS4, but they made this amazing first-person shooter on the Vita that I just finished. And it's not an indie game, like, at all. It's like it's a full AAA title, but it's incredible. It's like a proper first-person experience that you don't really get on games of that era, and it's like a twin-stick shooter. And now they're like a dime a dozen because they'll port, like, Doom and Wolfenstein to the Switch. But even then, playing it now, I'm like, this is amazing. This is an incredible game. Yeah.
Yeah, the Vita rules, but I found that all of the first party content, like the Uncharted game on that, I didn't really get into it. I found that really, really limp.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine, but it's not like if you play, you know, 2, 3, and 4, it's not the same.
Yep.
It's probably maybe on par with the first one, maybe, you know?
Which is another game I don't like, so.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I think it's maybe a bit better than the first one.
Yeah, you're probably right. And I think there's some of the touchscreen stuff. It's like to climb, you can just like swipe the rocks and you'll just, it's like, that's not fun. You know what
I mean? That's not what my boy Nate would do.
That's not what he would do. That's right. What would Sully say? The spirit of the threat. That being said, like, it's a pretty impressive situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just happens to be not as good as the other ones.
Not as good as Killzone Mercenary.
Mercenary. Because there's like, they'd made a resistance game, they did like a Call of Duty or maybe a couple, and they're not good. But this one is just like, there's something about it, they just got it right. Yeah,
cool. Well, we mentioned that the Vita and PS3 stores were closing a couple of weeks ago, and they have since rescinded that. So James has spent all of his life savings on games for no reason because the store is going to stay open for a while. I think the only games that are truly going away are the PSP store games on the Vita store.
Yes, but a lot of them... No, or is it the PSP store that's closing? I can't remember. Is that right?
One of those things. Pick one.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
So I'm buying a bunch of those up as well, just digitally. Games that I will never play. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to get the Dino Crisis games as well on the PlayStation 1. I'll never play them. I bought the Metal Gear Solid collection, which is 2 and 3, which I'll never play. I bought the God of War series collection for $140, which is just God of War 1 and 2. Games I have played, which I will never play again. But I have it now. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going crazy.
Especially funny buying it on a handheld during a time where you were probably least likely to use a handheld device.
Like, yeah, exactly.
They're not doing any traveling.
No, that's right. Well, that being said, like, I do play a lot of my video games handheld. You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't dock my Switch for like 2 years until I started playing Super Mario 3D World with my son. And... what an amazing! I know you guys have talked about it, and you've talked about it at length as well in other podcasts. But it's incredible. What an amazing game!
Yeah, and a really fun one to play. There's a level of chaos when you play that game with multiple players, especially if those players, James, your son is 6, my son is 7, my daughter is 4. Mm-hmm. When we all play with our kids, you can't get angry, but God, it is hard.
Yeah, and especially like, you know, it's good because they can go into a bubble. Like, that's all fine. But often my son, and he got a lot better. Like, he's way better. I'm surprised how good he got at it. But, you know, he'll burn through all the lives and then burn through all the power-ups and then die. And then it's just me. Then I'll die. And then we're back to square one. Do you know what I mean?
You've achieved nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I had 15 lives going into this level and now I have nothing, you know?
On the second level, there's like a cheat you can do where you jump on the turtle, on the Koopa, shell over and over again, and you can get infinite lives. Very helpful if you're playing with kids. So we currently have like 999 lives.
Okay, I got to do that. I also want to get the cat amiibo. Yeah,
we got that too. Yeah, you got to get that invincible cat suit.
Okay, I'll do that as well. Yeah. But that being said, like, we beat Bowser's Fury together, which isn't as fun as a 2-player experience. I'm sorry, this is not an indie game.
It's fine,
obviously. Yeah, but that's not a great 2-player experience. Because it's not even in terms of what you can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's less pressure on the second player to actually be good at the game, which I enjoyed.
Yes, but he wants to be Mario.
Okay,
so that's when it becomes more difficult. You know what I mean?
My son's accepted that I'm Mario.
Oh, really? Like, okay.
His go-to is Toad.
Really?
Whenever we play 3D World, he has to be Toad. And then, Mario Kart, he picks Toad.
Sure. I've never heard of such a thing.
Big Toad fan.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk about indie games that you've been playing on the Switch with your son. All these games?
Not all of them. No, just a couple. Yeah, a couple of them. Yeah. Well, you recommended to me this week. I was like, what should I play or whatever? And I had a few actually when I looked at my console. But you said Untitled Goose Game or Untitled Geese Game got a 2-player update.
Yeah.
And that's a game that I started and never finished. And I liked it. And it was also more difficult than I thought. Do you know what I mean? You got to kind of think about it. And the world has its own kind of internal logic that you got to kind of click into.
Yeah.
But I installed the update and my son and I played through it. Are playing through it at the moment. Again, how are you finding it?
Yeah, so this game came out in 2019. It was developed by House House, and I can't remember who published it. Someone published it. Who cares? It's an old
Australian
game.
Australian, isn't it?
Yeah, Australian developed. Yeah. And it came out last in September, so a year later, they updated it. So there's a two-player mode. And I'm hoping this September we get a three-player mode, and they just keep adding more players as the years go on until like 10 years from now. Yeah. It's like 10-player Untitled Goose mode.
Just chaos, yeah.
But we finished it in like the first month. Actually, I recorded a podcast with my kids about the game once we finished it, which is in the All the Small Games feed if you want to go back and listen to our initial thoughts of that game. But yeah, I never did the two-player update. And when you asked me for recommendations of games to play with your son, I was like, oh, you know what? I've always wanted to try out this two-player mode. And this morning before school, that's what I did with Archie. And oh my God, if I like 3D Mario is nowhere near the level of frustration that I felt while trying to play this with a child.
Yeah, I know it's weird how it's not. Don't get me wrong. My son had like an amazing time.
Yes.
Like the first time when we start.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. When we start harassing the farmer and you can just snatch things out of his hands. Like he lost it. And to be fair, like I've never played anything like this either, really. So it's very unique, or was at least at the time it came out. And it's really fun just harassing people. But it's the moving forward of it with another person, which can be frustrating. And how some items you've got to kind of duck down to pick up, you know what I mean, and bits and pieces. And you almost got to coordinate, you know, not almost, you do, like a lot of the time. That being said, there's no failure in it, really.
No, totally. Do you know what I mean? But it is like, you can steal the farmer's keys, and if he catches you, he'll just take his keys back. So then you've got to do that again. You know, it's repetition as opposed to failure.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah. So where did the frustration for you come in? Just trying to get Archie to do what you were doing? Or?
Okay, first of all, so everyone knows the titular Untitled Goose. He's a white goose with an orange beak. I'm pretty sure that on our planet Earth, there are black geese, there are brown geese, there are probably grey geese. But for whatever reason, House House decided to make both geese, when you play two-player, white. And the second player has a reddish beak as opposed to an orange beak. And that is the only disturbing feature.
It's still pretty orange as well, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one. I didn't even think about that. No, that didn't occur to me. But yeah, that did present a problem a couple of times. I guess you couldn't really make it a black goose because I don't think there's any blacks like in the world. Not a race thing. I mean, as in like the color palette. Do you know what I mean?
It's all very kind of goose game.
Yeah, but it's all very pastel and like storybook like. Do you know what I mean? There's no like deep, rich, dark colors, I think, from memory. So you would, maybe a brown would have been the way to go.
But like I would have moments.
Or
where
reverse
I was like,
the colors, make him orange with a white beak. I don't know. It doesn't
perfect
really
orange
matter,
geese.
Does it?
Give us that for sure. Because I'd be like, Archie, come get in the water. Get in the water. And he'd be like, I am in the water. I'm like, no, you're looking at me. Yours is the one with the slightly reddish beak. And so they even like, you can put like icons above your head. So he had a little circle above his head and I had a little triangle above my head. But that, again, we both have white symbols above our heads and he just constantly would be looking at the wrong goose.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other problem was the camera. It only zooms out to a point. So when you're both in different locations on the map, at one point, it's just like, oh, fuck one of these players. I'm only going to focus on one of them. And the other one's just off the map.
If you hit honk, apparently it focuses on you.
Yeah, but then the other one's out of focus.
I didn't find that really helped at all. No. Yeah. Or it didn't really work, you know?
And it actually stops you from going too far away from the other goose. There's like, you're almost tethered to it, which is an interesting choice. I think maybe like, you know how like the Lego games?
It's an afterthought. Yeah, it's an afterthought, right, though, this whole thing? Right?
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, you're right. It is a first player game, first and foremost, for sure. But yeah, so we had already finished the game. And when you finish the game, I don't know if you finished it.
I haven't, no.
It's
about three
fun.
Hours, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you could burn through it in one once you know what to do. You get, you have like a notepad of goals you have to achieve in each level. You get given a whole bunch more kind of like obtuse and challenging things to complete on each level. And so we're now doing those. yeah, I think it's good to play more co-op games because it forces me to stop being frustrated and you know, yeah, figure out how to communicate to Archie so we can both achieve this thing. But man, at like 8 a.m. in the morning, 15 minutes before we've got to jump in the car to get to school, it is not the vibe I'm looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. I found, yeah, playing games with my son, I really kind of have to pull back because you can't talk to them the way that you would talk to a friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know, so it's really like, there's a lot of me being like, if he gets frustrated, I'm like, that's okay, don't worry about it, we'll just do it again. Like, it's not a big deal. But in my head, I'm like, God fucking damn it.
Yeah, there's only so many times you can call him the C-bomb before they ask what that word is.
Yeah, exactly. I think, though, it's something that you couldn't just give to kids to play. There's also, you need to be able to read very well to know what to do. And I don't know where your son is with reading.
No, he's
my
fine
son
in that regard, being, yeah,
the first year of school, yeah, he can't determine, like, what the tasks are. So it's not something you would just give to a kid to play, like you could with Mario, because Mario,
yeah,
just...
For sure. Yeah, besides Mario games, though, yeah, I feel like Nintendo are always the kind of go-to family kids games, but there is so much totally reading. Like, you could never give a Zelda game to a kid, regardless of how easy it is, just because of how much text there is to get through and understand what to do and what the context is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's good. Like, it's fun, and if you have it, it's for free update. So, you know, why wouldn't you give
it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think kids, especially if you have two kids, just like, they don't care about completing the tasks. They just want to honk at the farmer. So just, I think my biggest error was trying to actually play the game properly instead of just embracing the chaos and honking to my heart's delight.
And also, this is probably a bit embarrassing, but there are a few moments where I'm just like, I'm going to look this up because I don't know what. It was a moment where you got to get a woman to cut the rose next door.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I cannot figure, I don't know what is going on. So and then it's really obvious afterwards. And I wonder whether I was playing it by myself where I had the freedom to kind of go around and explore, then maybe I would have figured it out, probably not. But
Did you let your son see you cheating, or did you like just kind of...
Oh, yeah, I showed him. I was like, this is what we're doing. Yeah.
Okay, cool, right.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll be playing a game with puzzles in it, and I'll just be like, oh, I'm just going to go to the bathroom for a minute, and then I'll come back. I'm like, hey, I had an epiphany. I know what to do now. Because I've watched a walkthrough.
This is why parents think... That's why kids get upset with their parents when they grow up, and they realize they're not invincible and know everything. Yeah.
Were you a point-and-click adventure gamer when you were growing up?
I was. Mason was more so. Mason was my co-host on The Weekly Planet, for those who don't know. But I loved Sam and Max Hit the Road. Like, mm-hmm, that was my absolute jam. And we played it on, like, a 386 with no sound.
Oh,
and
great.
It just chugged through. Like, it barely worked. But I loved it. And just the little secrets in that. But, you know, a little bit of Monkey Island, a little bit of, you know, other one. There was a Holy Grail video game. Do you remember that?
No.
They made it was like a live action point and click Life of Brian, Monty Python Holy Grail video game.
Whoa. With like using photos or using video?
No, it was, I think they reshot like a bunch of stuff with new actors and then used the original voices. I can't remember. I honestly can't remember. But weird choice, right? Like, they'd never make that now. Like, it just would.
Was it?
Why,
was it
why would
funny?
That exist? I guess because it was like the Holy Grail, but I. Which is a movie I loved as a kid, but I don't really remember enough about it. But yeah, are you saying though there's a similarity between these two? Is that what you
mean?
I
guess, you know, yeah, solving environmental puzzles.
Yes.
Untitled Goose Game pretty much is like a physics-based point and click adventure game.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Just with no weird.
You played a lot of those as well, did you? Or?
Yeah, Grim Fandango.
Yep.
The third Monkey Island was my favorite. Which was like the more animated. It wasn't like the one they made the move to 3D. I hated that, but they did one that was like really great animation, 2D animation as opposed to pixel art. And I loved that one.
Yeah.
Maybe that was Curse of Monkey Island.
Potentially. Yeah. I got them on they came on mobile a few years ago where they redid them and you could switch between the graphics.
Oh,
I played it for like a minute. Then I was like, eh. Yeah.
Why did I spend $15 on both of these?
Yeah, exactly.
when I could have waited 10 years and bought them for $140 in a collection together on the PS Vita and also not play them.
Exactly. That's the dream. Exactly. Go through limited run games and buy a game I'll never play. I've been actually buying the Star Wars limited run games on that for Switch. I just got Pod Racer a few months ago delivered. Again, not an indie game, but...
Joel Jackson from Thumb Cramps. Every year we have to play each other's game of the year. And since we started this, his game of both games of the year have been Nintendo 64 games that were ported to Switch. So in 2019, it was Turok 2, which I had to buy and play.
How'd you find that?
And I actually kind of loved it until I got to the end of the first level, which took for fucking ever. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, you didn't save all the kids. You have to go back and find the kids before you finish the actual level. So it's, just like arbitrary, like lengthening of a game.
Yeah.
Star Wars Podracer was his game of the year last year.
Yeah.
And I loved the first few levels when it was just super easy. And then as soon as you actually have to be skilled, I hate it.
Yes. When they take the rails off the sides of the track, that's when you get into real trouble in those games. Yeah. But I played that a lot when it came out because I've told the story before. But I won a Nintendo 64 in 99 with that game.
Oh,
and
perfect.
And so, that game is like, I don't know. I don't know if it's good. I really like it, though. Do you know what I mean? And for years, I've been looking for games like it that they re-released. And I'm like, yep, cool. Awesome. I'll get that. Yeah. So I just ordered Commando.
Nice.
In a few months. Yeah.
Yeah, that was I played that on my friend's 64. That was the 64 one, right? Yeah. Mm. It's funny that there's not a level of, I guess, there's so many details in Podracer, like the fact that you've got Watto like just talking through the entire menu and I feel like not even Star Wars games today have that level of extra stuff on them.
They really don't. I'll be interested to see what they do with the new Skywalker Lego one. Because I think they got a lot of people back and they got Jake Lloyd to voice Anakin Skywalker and basically just go, woohoo, they got him to do that.
Eat my dust, Wormo.
Yeah, exactly, shit like that. But what a game, what an era. Because there was that and there was the Phantom Menace. They really put everything into these. And then there was Jedi Power Battles. It was huge. Remember the...
And then there were multiple studios making the Star Wars too, which I think was key.
And I know, I'm pretty sure you guys have talked about this, but that's what I wanted to do. That's what I want LucasArts to do. Just give it to a bunch of, don't give it to EA. They've made 1.5 good games. Just don't, please. Yeah.
Yeah. And you want different, I want a Star Wars platforming game. I want it's a great world to explore no matter what kind of, gameplay. It doesn't necessarily have to be third person.
Which that's exactly right. Yeah. But whatever. Anyway, what else are we doing? What else are we playing?
Yeah,
what are
thanks
we
for getting my podcast back on track. So you played on the list of games you sent me was Narita Boy, a game we reviewed last month.
Published,
developed by Studio Koba and published by Team 17, which is a weird cyberpunk, side-scrolling, fantasy, insane thing. Very meta. Have you finished this game?
No, I thought I would love it. I saw the trailer. I'm like, I don't always love 16-bit games. I think a lot of the times it's it feels like a crutch that people are leaning on.
I love
not,
that crutch, brother.
Yeah,
that's my favorite crutch.
I feel like people are just doing it, but for what purpose? Do you know what I mean?
Cater to my interests.
Yeah, so that specifically, yeah. So I love the world, and it's pretty basic combat and platforming, which is all fine, but I found it was very long-winded and complicated narrative-wise, and there's just blocks of text that really put me off. So I might go back to it, but I didn't get very far before I went, I don't know if this is very compelling or for me. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a self-awareness to how much text is in that game and how ridiculous the world building is that I appreciated. For me, the combat, and I think it does get more complicated and has a lot more depth to it as you continue on and get more power-ups and stuff like that. But at the start, it was so basic and the enemies quite repetitive. So I was a little let down by the game in that regard. But it definitely is a game that I want to return to because it looks so fucking good.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was the initial appeal for me. And I do like the idea that you're looking for this Excalibur-esque thing to start off with. And, your powers do ramp up and, the whole sucked into a video game kind of thing. That was my jam in the 90s. You know what I mean? reading books about being sucked into video games. So, yeah, I should.
You're like,
I should
when is this going to happen to me?
Yeah, exactly. So you haven't finished it, is that right?
No, I don't know anyone who has either.
Okay.
John and I both got some way into it. But there's been a lot of games put on the back burner this year. I thought this year wasn't going to be a big one for like many games coming out. And at the moment I have like 20 games I'm a couple of hours into.
Yeah, absolutely. You got me interested. What was that cloud game that you mentioned last week? The Rain on My Parade?
Rain on Your Parade. Well, I mean, yeah. if your son loves Untitled Goose Game and wants to continue being a dick to people as a cute thing, this is great. You play a cloud that rains on people.
The way that you guys talked about it and how the levels evolve and one's like The Office and one's, I don't know, it sounds amazing. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Is it 3D? Actually, that was one thing I didn't get from your description.
Yes, it is
3D.
It is 3D. Yeah. Polygonal, but it's very simple. It's very like,
yes. Yeah,
but I think that plays well to it. Like you know, the cloud is on strings, so it's almost like you're playing a puppet show.
Oh, cool. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and the levels are like bite-sized, almost like an app where it's like you have to achieve this and get 5 stars in each level kind of thing. It's fun, really fun.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, I'll come back to that. I will play that one, yeah, at some point.
But last game on your list is Hotshot Racing.
Yeah, so this is from Curve Digital. This was I got this because they were re-releasing Need for Speed 2011, mm-hmm. which is one of my favorite racing games because I find with a lot of racing games now, and maybe it's just me, but it seems to be like an open world and you got to drive to a track to start, you know what I mean? And and then you got to stop and then the gate and then it loads and then you got to drive around and find another race. And I fucking hate any of that. Like, why? Just give me the tracks. It doesn't need to be all connected. Like, and then I feel like the world is smaller and you're seeing less. And even though you can kind of go to different places, it just feels less kind of deliberate in the way that the tracks are designed. And that's probably not true because all they're doing is taking like 20 tracks and just merging them together, really, I assume. But so, yeah, I was waiting for that game to come out because, again, it's like individual tracks that you can play. But then I saw this game pop up called Hotshot Racing, which is like a Daytona-esque like arcade racer. And the graphics are very like early 3D 90s Daytona style, except obviously for the modern day, it's much crisper and clearer with less like texture popping in and out, and you won't clip through a wall and all of those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And what I like about this kind of retro game is, yeah, we have got all those 16-bit stuff, and you know we've been doing that for a while now. But now we're starting to get a few of these games that inspired by those early 3D games, which at the time and even looking back, they look like absolute shit. But what you can do, like now in hindsight, you can build something kind of really beautiful and interesting with it. Like there's a simplicity to it, which I think really works. And I want to see more of that. And I'd be curious, can you think of any other games that kind of use this? I know some of the Zeldas probably might.
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe. I went back to the, you know, did you ever play the Crazy Taxi on like Dreamcast?
Yeah.
They made an homage to that game called Taxi Chaos. And I was kind of excited for it because Crazy Taxi is a lot of fun. And this game was not fun. Didn't really understand the soul of what made Crazy Taxi a fun game. The taxis weren't crazy enough.
Oh, wow. That sounds a bit like that first ukulele game where they're like, we're doing a Banjo-Kazooie, but it's... And then it was like, But it wasn't... I never played it, so I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But
the second one they made was more like Donkey Kong Country and was more fun.
Yes.
But I still never finished it.
Well, that's a game I got to finish as well. I got to... That Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze game.
That game rules.
Back to that. Yeah, I know. I gotta get back to it. But it's this game basically. It's like drifting and like you know it's arcade action and it's Daytona. It's essentially Daytona, you know, on the Switch, and it's not open world as mentioned, and it's just a lot of fun. Like I really like these simple racing games that you can jump in and out of. That's why my son and I will often go back to Mario Kart because it's just really quick and one and done, and all the tracks, you know, they're different enough and whatever. And there's nothing too complicated about it. I'm not also a fan of the really complicated driving games, you know, where you got to pick the right tires and navigate hairpin turns perfectly. I'm just like, I want to be able to hit a wall and then recover. And that, you know, I know that's not realistic. Not everybody's jam.
No, but who cares? We drive cars every day. It sucks.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. I do hate driving cars as well. I do not like driving in real life. So, Yeah, it's good. It's fun. It's if you like racing games and if you like Daytona, then I'd say it's worth checking out. Yeah,
this has big pod racer energy.
It looks really good. Does. Yeah, it's got a bit of that. Yeah,
it's so colorful too. Like, yeah, I know that, like, you know, the hyper realistic, racing games that definitely have their. I understand the appeal for them, but like, it is great to see something so neon as a racer.
Yes, absolutely. Hot Pursuit, that was the Need for Speed game I was talking about as well. Cool.
Thing is, though, more give, like, guns should have, I mean, cars should have guns.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Like, I swear there was a game growing up where, like, you played, it was a racing game and you had guns on your car and you shot the other cars.
I know there's the, like, Road Rash is the one I can think of, but yeah, there would have had to have been, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Googling racing games where you have guns.
Well, you got guns. Give me some guns. Did you ever play those Destruction Derby games as a kid?
Oh, yeah, they were fun.
They're really fun. They weren't guns.
WatchMojo.com has done it. Top 10 vehicular combat games.
Here we go. Number one.
Let's go, everyone. It's going to be us doing commentary of a WatchMojo game.
I'm genuinely into this. I hope everyone else is because I'm curious about this. Is it a list or a video?
It's a video, unfortunately. I don't think I want to subject everyone to scrolling through a video. Hopefully in the comments someone has summed it up.
Yeah. WatchMojo. What was it? Because sometimes they have it on their website. They list them out. So what's the video called? And I can bring it up.
It's called Top 10 Vehicular Combat Games.
All right.
Here we go. I found it. This is on thegamer.com. Are you okay with this clearly inferior website to WatchMojo.com?
I guess. Oh, I made a WatchMojo video once. So this is exciting.
Did you? Wow. Did you have to do the WatchMojo voice?
No, it was top movie commentary YouTube something. I can't remember. It was like 2014. Yeah.
One of your proudest
works. I
barely
got in. Because I just got a bunch of people like to spam it. And then I got in the top 10. For this thing that I don't care about, but I appreciate.
Oh, great! Perfect.
Doing, yeah.
Oh, so you didn't host the video? You just made it.
Oh no! I was just Mr. Sunday Movies. It talks about comic books or whatever. Yeah, that shit. Yep. Mm.
Perfect.
All right, what do we got?
So number 10, Road Rash 3 on the Mega Drive.
Sick. Loved it.
Oh, this looks fun. Number 9 on the PSX, Roll Cage Stage 2.
Oh.
Then we have Twisted Metal, number 8.
Of course, yeah.
Soon to be a Netflix series, is that right?
What? Ugh, okay.
Surely you would have covered that. There's a bunch of like, PlayStation things coming to. No, don't you just, isn't, if anything vaguely like video game or pop culture related, you have to include it on your show.
That
or
is
your,
true,
your
but I genuinely have not heard this. I've not heard that at all, yeah. There you go.
Hopefully WatchMojo.com have done a video about it so we can go to that now. Twisted Metal movie. Funny.
Sorry, go on.
Carmageddon was sick.
Mm. That wasn't guns, though, was it?
No, exactly. I specifically want like ones where these are like games where you ram people with cars.
Yeah. Car combat.
The Twisted Metal show is from Deadpool writers and the Zombieland writers. Yeah.
There you go. That's a bloody...
For Sony Pictures Television.
Okay, fair enough. That's good, I guess. Yeah.
Vigilante 8, Carmageddon 2, Carpocalypse Now, Rocket League. You don't have guns in any of these. Burnout Revenge, Crash Team Racing, Super Mario Kart, and Blur. Okay, if anyone knows a racing game where your cars have guns, let me know.
Are you thinking of the game Lucky and Wild, the arcade game where
that
one
was
person
very
holds
fun.
A steering wheel? That's not, and one has a machine gun, the other person has two machine guns. Is that right?
No, I want one where you are a car.
Yep,
that is right. But I want one where the car has guns attached to it, and you just hold down a button and it shoots cars in front of you, almost like an aerial combat game, except you're driving in a race.
Yep, I would also be curious to know what's got. Yeah, absolutely. Not Spy Hunter, would it be?
I don't know. I definitely played one back in the day. And like, you could upgrade your weapons. You got money to buy better guns to attach to your car. And it was almost like you were a hitman, but also a car racer.
I found just one now. It's called Death Cars, but it's DETHKARZ from 1998.
That's so, definitely yeah. sounds like a game I played in 1998. Death Cars. Maybe. This could be it, actually. It looks pretty sick.
I'd never say it. I'd never heard it before, so. I don't know. Someone will know. Someone will message in.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Yeah.
So I have one final game to talk about, James.
Yeah.
And that is a game called Spire Blast, which is an Apple Arcade game. The reason I bring it up. What's that, sorry?
I haven't done any of the Apple Arcade stuff.
Yeah, there's some really good games in there. What the Golf is an excellent game, and Grindstone, they're probably like the two best games on Apple Arcade. Sayonara Wild Hearts is really good too. We covered heaps of them on the podcast.
Yeah.
But one thing that was kind of like consistent is that there are very few games on the service that are that, like, I want to play a dumb phone game that just scratches the itch of just literally wasting my time while I, you know, wait for something, or when I'm DJing and my brain is dead and I'm, you know, I'm playing the longest songs I have in my music library and hoping to kill some time before I have to put the next one on. I want...
Do your feet get tired? Sorry, I know you're talking. Do your feet get tired?
Sometimes. I ran a half marathon 2 years ago and then had very sore legs after that. And then I DJed that night and stayed on my feet for like 7 hours. Oh, and the next day I couldn't walk. So that day, definitely my feet were tired. But
sorry, I cut you off. Sorry, please continue.
I don't remember what I was talking about now.
It was the Apple Arcade. They're into the mobile.
The classic, like, you know, app game where it's like a bunch of levels, you just got to do a bunch of dumb shit, and then you get 3 stars if you know, the Angry Birds model of video games.
Absolutely.
They've added quite a few of those this year, which has been fun, because the worst thing about those kind of games is that they often are free to play and suddenly you're out of hearts or whatever, and it's like, hey, if you give us $50, you'll get a bunch more hearts. And I'm like, I don't want to give you $50. I once got hideously addicted to a game called Disney Tsum Tsum, which was a match 3 puzzle. Anyway, there's a game called Spire Blast. And before I tell you about it, I want to ask you a question, because you cover movies on the Weekly Planet.
I love movies.
You're obviously familiar with the director Steven Spielberg.
Yes. Are you talking about that Tetris Blast game that Steven Spielberg made?
It was called Boom Blocks.
Okay, that was the one.
It was on the Wii, And yes. They made a sequel to it called Boom Blocks Bash Party. Did you ever play these games?
I didn't. What, wasn't it good?
It was so good. I love one of the best games that utilized the Wiimote motion. I would say better than any game that Nintendo made. I think it's like that and Wii Sports, like the two as good as it got, really.
What was Spielberg's involvement in that?
He obviously developed the entire thing, wrote it, voiced all the characters in it, drew all the art. I don't know. I have no idea why he was involved. I mean,
he probably just said, "I love video games," and they went, "Okay, we can do something with that."
But I mean, like, you know, he was always the name attached to Tiny Toons, remember?
Yes, he was, and
Animaniacs, and he was very involved in those things. So maybe he was very involved in Boombox too.
That would be cool if he was. I'm looking at a video of this now. Yeah, so you're knocking down towers, essentially. Like boom
blocks. So I mean, okay, on the most simple level, it's like that carnival game where there's like a bunch of bottles and you have to throw a ball at the bottles and knock them over. But it's kind of a mix. The game is like Angry Birds, where you're flinging stuff at other stuff to knock it over, and then I guess Jenga, because there are some modes where you're pulling out blocks so the tower doesn't fall down. But then the best levels are ones where you'd have this insanely high tower and you are throwing shit at that tower and trying to knock down as many blocks as you can, because all the blocks are different colors. And if you throw a purple block at a cluster of other purple blocks, you blow up all the purple blocks and then everything falls down and collapses.
Yes.
And there was something insanely satisfying about like hitting a very low down block that took out the entire tower. Like just finding that perfect point to knock down the entire tower of blocks.
Does every level give you that opportunity to do that?
There were lots of different modes. It's actually crazy how much content I stupidly sold these games. And now that I have kids, like this, like getting, I kept my Wii U, so I could technically play these again if I was to rebuy them. I'm really considering just becoming a Boomblox guy again, number one Boomblox stan. Because the sequel in particular had so much content, so many different modes, so many fun different. Because it would be like, you have to hit this many purple blocks before taking out the entire tower. Like things like that, where it is does add a level of challenge. Or like all the blocks had different effects. Like sometimes the blocks would explode, or they would like freeze, or you know, all kinds of things like that. Anyway, I was listening to the Kinda Funny Games cast a couple of weeks ago, and one of the hosts. Yep. Tim mentioned that Spire Blast was scratching the Boom Blocks itch for him. And that was all I needed to hear. It was developed by a developer called Orbital Knight. It came out in January this year. And it is basically an app where you have this insanely high tower of different colored blocks and 30 balls. And those balls are different colors. You throw the blue ball at the blue blocks, all the blue blocks that blue block is touching disappear, and then shit falls down around you. And it is an App Store ass game. Like you can definitely see this being a free-to-play game, but the cool thing is it's an Apple Arcade game, so you just pay your subscription and you never have to worry about running out of hearts or having to put real life money in it, or accidentally leaving your phone with the credit card thing turned on and your son spending hundreds of your dollars because he wants to, get
really
to the
next ruined
level.
Mobile gaming, haven't they? It's nice that things like this exist, you know?
Yeah, I think this is this was like the cool promise of Apple Arcade. It was like, oh, wow, all those mobile experiences that were sullied by like gross, predatory, free-to-play behavior, that shit isn't going to exist on here.
I get a lot of requests to do ads for Raid Shadow Legends or whatever. And I'm like, I can't, because this is a trap. I would love to take this money, but this game is poison. And maybe not good. I don't know. I've never played it, but yeah.
It's insane. I get it advertised to me constantly from like, mostly it's like Instagram people. And it'll be like them. Yeah. And like they'll have in their, I'm like, why does this person have like 90,000 followers? And it's just because they are like number one Raid Shadows fan or some shit, like, you know, player or ambassador. Yeah, right. What is it called? Shadows of Raid?
I have no idea.
What's the game?
Raid Shadow Legend. Raid. It'd be Raid. Yeah. They do Super Bowl commercials and shit. Like, the money they must bring in.
Yeah.
My God. Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to play just like a, you know, throwback to when app stores were just like, you know, yeah, you get like this big map of levels in front of you, you advance, you have to, you can get 1, 2, or 3 stars, and then you beat the level and you get a whole bunch more. Apparently there's 140 levels in this game. I'm on level 40. And there's, so basically, yeah, there's a big tower. You start getting like weird challenges. Like there are certain blocks that have to be hit twice before they explode.
Right.
And so you've got to like take down it, but they can also be knocked over. So you want to try and blow them up. You get points for you get more points for blowing up blocks than you do for knocking them over.
Gotcha.
Then there are some blocks that are like in a cage, and they have to, you have to blow up a block around them to remove the cage. Then you can take out that block. And then my favorite weird thing that you have to do is there is a hungry dragon that hovers on one side of the tower, and you have to make sure that enough blocks fall into the dragon's mouth to satisfy his hunger before you knock out the tower and finish the level.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
All right. I should check out Apple Arcade because I've just stopped playing mobile games, like completely. Yeah.
Yeah, but you've got your Vita, mate. You've got well, that's God of War collection on there.
Yeah. I guess the thing about the Switch is I know people are like, it's portable and whatever, but it's not so portable that if I was going into the city for drinks or whatever, I wouldn't take it with me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
this
for
sounds
sure.
like something that you would play on the train, as opposed to like scrolling Reddit.
Yeah. What are your go-to channels?
Reddit. Oh man, just junk. I do a lot of like I like the relationship advice one because it's just a train wreck. I don't know why. And there's like, I'd have to bring it up, but there's a bunch of stuff that
The am I the arsehole? Have you?
Oh yeah, I got that one. Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. Great it's mostly channel. Trash. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, good.
But you know. Yeah.
Would you ever like, as an experiment, just be an arsehole for a month to see if you show up there?
Oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? No, I think I'd be too much of a coward. Am I the coward?
What,
definitely.
But what's the bigger goal? Watch Mojo video or am I the arsehole Reddit?
Well, a lot of the times they're anonymous, so yeah, I guess it would be okay. That would be fun to see myself show up. Also, there's the element of like, are these fake? How many of these are fake? You just don't. But
I'm impressed if you are able to like convincingly put a fake "Am I the Arsehole" post up there that gains traction.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I also love the ones that are the "I am very smart" one, where people, you know, it's often people talking about it's the Ricks of the world, which I know.
Yeah.
Well,
I was going to say, I hope you bring up the real Ricks. I love the real Ricks.
Yeah. Which is all good fun. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Rick and Morty, nothing to do with indie games, but have you watched Solar Opposites?
Yeah, all of it. I love it.
It's really good, isn't it?
Yeah, and the wall stuff is excellent. Like,
it's so much fun, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm a big Rick and Morty fan again. I think enough time has passed that like the Szechuan sauce incident is forgotten about. Yes. No one's a real Rick anymore. There's a lot less Pickle Rick merchandise in the world.
Yeah, the problem with Rick and Morty is everybody who likes it. It's not the show itself, is it? Really?
Actually, I asked this of Angus from Hey Fan the other day, but what of all the things you like, what has the worst fan base?
Oh, man.
Because for me, I think it's Lego. I think the Lego fan base is hideous.
Really?
Adult fans of Lego are like disgusting humans.
Are they really? My dad's got a mate whose son sells like Lego, like officially. Like he's got like his own, and you know, you ask for a 14B or whatever and he's got it or whatever. I guess it would be because adults do ruin everything, don't they?
Yes.
They
absolutely.
Come in and they're like, this is mine, this is for me. And they just ruin it. Yeah. How is your Lego addiction going?
I sold almost like about 3/4 of my collection and it funded.
Yeah, right.
I bought a house. I sold Lego to buy a house.
Dead set.
Yeah, you either build a house or you buy one. And I sold all my Lego so I could buy one.
Oh, I didn't realize those two things were connected. That's awesome. Oh, good for you, man. Yeah.
That was a hilarious addiction to have.
Yeah. We went to there was a Star Wars thing at Fed Square on Sunday and for May the 4th. My son and I went and there was a Lego section where they just give you a tiny X-Wing for free that you build there. And it's like, it's great that it's free, but I'm like, this has cost me like at least $1,000 like in the near future. Do you know what I mean? Of things that I'll have to buy. Yeah, they know what they're doing. I was going to say my worst fandom is probably just the new, like Justice League probably, because I quite liked the new Justice League.
That man, listening to that episode, I have never felt like less connected to you as a person.
Yeah, yeah, I know, because Mason obviously was this, was same as you, but yeah, the worst. But like Star Wars is awful. Like it's all awful. It really is. Mm. And because that's the thing, like. It's for kids. It's not just for kids, but you know what I mean? I think people forget that. They kind of get caught up in being like, this is too PC and whatever. But like I went to a Star Wars kids party the other week and there was like 10 girls dressed as Rey. And it's like, what do you care if this? It doesn't fucking...
Yeah, that's great.
Fucking relax on this, you know what I mean?
You were like, just too powerful. Canonically, this doesn't work. There's only one Rey.
Yeah.
Why are there 10? Exactly. Are you guys reenacting the scene with the mirrors?
Yeah, so that's good fun. Yeah, yeah. I got some I got some physical board game stuff I can talk about if you want, if you've got time.
Oh, I love that shit. Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. I just bought just a really simple Mario, it's like a 16-bit Mario style checkers board.
Okay.
When my son and I, we do dinners like once a week just together, so where we play games like Uno and whatever. So we're going to start playing checkers, and Mario would be a good way to get him in. And when you become a king, you switch out the pieces for like a bigger bit, you know what I mean? Like a bigger 3D Mario piece. And I got this, I just brought it up and now I've lost it again. And here it is. I on Kickstarter, I bought this game it's called Chess Up, where it's basically a board game. It's chess where it teaches you how to play chess. So it highlights parts on the board of moves you could make. And obviously you play it with somebody else, so I want to learn to play chess a bit better. So I'm going to go checkers, and then my son and I will play chess together. That's if this thing even arrives, because, you know, who knows?
Look, I have to say, board game Kickstarter, I've been burned by comic book Kickstarters, video game Kickstarters in the past, but board game Kickstarter, I've done 4 so far. And You've done a few. They all arrived in the last 2 weeks. I kickstarted most of them in April last year.
By coincidence, they all arrived?
Yeah. No, I was like, yeah, there were like any special requests. And I was like, yeah, if you could all arrive in the final 2 weeks of April 2021. I got my favorite game publisher is they make very small boxes of games. They're from Japan called Oink Games. And I backed their Kickstarter. Gosh, it was at the start of the year and those have already arrived.
Oh, wow.
Three games from them. And they did a very cool thing because it's very hard to get a lot of their Japanese like only games. And with their Kickstarter, they opened their store. And so you could add any of their other games to your cart. I picked up like a bunch that I didn't already have.
What would you recommend as like a good one?
My absolute favorite entry-level Oink games is called Nine Tiles. It is so simple. It's a game where you have... 9 colored tiles in front of you, and there's a different pattern on the other side of each tile. You have a bunch of game cards that show a pattern of 9 of the tiles, and you have to make your tiles look like the pattern on the game tile.
That is,
and so that means rearranging it and flipping them over, but the same, like there's like a green pattern, and on the back of one of it is a pink pattern, but on the other green pattern. There's a blue pattern on the other side of it. So it's not like you're like, oh, I'll just turn over the green one because there's a pink one under there. They're all different. It's really, really fun. It's a like kind of sight, very quick game as well, which is like when you have a kid desperately just wanting to play one board game before bed, it's the perfect one to play.
Oh, I'm getting this. This looks real. I'm just looking at a video of it here. Yeah, whenever I look down, I am listening, but I'm just looking up the things that you're talking about.
It's fine. Yeah, yeah. Whenever I look at the screen, I'm actually reading r/AmITheArsehole.
Okay, good. Okay, cool. Yeah, because I am. Look, to be honest, I always thought that I hated board games, but I think I just hate certain board games and playing with certain people.
Yeah, I was exactly the same.
Get older.
Yeah,
yeah. Like I will not play Monopoly. Like you could not pay me to play Monopoly.
I'm exactly the same. In fact, we had a New Year's like holiday maybe a decade ago, and my wife and I only recently started dating. And my sister was there, and like, her then boyfriend, and a few other couple friends of ours. Angus was there with his then girlfriend.
Oh, cool!
They were like, "Hey, let's play Monopoly." There was a Monopoly a board at the place we were playing, and everyone played except me. And all the couples got in fights and had like a shit night except me and my wife because I was brave enough to say, no, I'm not playing Monopoly.
It's horrible because it's just destroying people. It's and so it goes forever. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're slowly destroying people. You know what I mean? It's not like if it's quick, it's over and then it's a new game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you just slowly like bleed out.
Monopoly Deal is a card-based version of Monopoly, which is like $10 at Big W and really fun, really quick.
Okay.
Like 15-minute long games. If for whatever reason you crave some form of Monopoly.
No.
But, no, yeah. But yeah, okay,
that's
actually
good
took,
to know though, yeah.
It took Archie getting into Uno when he was 4. He got obsessed with it. 5, I mean. And then, yeah, at the start of last year, I started to find other card games. And I mean, you know from Lego, like my addictive personality, we now have over 200 board games in...
Oh, my God.
In, like, 15 months of collecting them. So, I know...
At least it's good, though. I think it's a good hobby and it's something to play with kids. It's like, you're not just giving him a phone when you're... You know,
yeah,
or maybe
totally.
You are doing that also.
Yeah, that's how we play board games.
Yeah. Look, I don't judge parents who do that because, like, just whatever gets you through, man. You know what I mean?
No, I totally understand that. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of like you with the Vita store, like going, oh my gosh, there will be a moment where I won't be able to get these games. I better get them all now. An article came out last year, like, you know, in April when we were all in lockdown, and it was like, COVID will mean that they won't be able to produce all the elements needed to make more board games. So all the board games are going to run out. And I was like, oh my gosh, and bought so many board games.
Claire did the same for like 1,000 piece puzzles. We've got like 5 and she did 1. It's like, she's not going to do them, which, you know, whatever. I don't care, but it's just a stack of puzzles. I never understood puzzles because it's just like, just a
puzzles.
Picture of a mountain or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
One of my mates had like a boutique rug. Like basically, like he would get designers to make a pattern, and then he would put the pattern on like a rug or a duvet cover,
cool.
Or like towels. And then like 2 months before COVID, he was like, you know what? I'm going to use these designs to make puzzles. And
his
business is now like crazy successful because
what's his
all
business
of the,
called?
Fuck, I should find out for you. Hold on. this might be a case of me having to insert Slow Down Studio.
That's incredible. That is like a COVID success story, which there haven't
it
been
absolutely
any aside
was.
From the vaccine.
Yeah. Slow Down Studio. They have such great stuff.
This looks really cool. Yeah.
The accessories section of their website, you can see all the puzzles.
Mm. Oh, this looks really fun. I like these designs. Yeah. 350,000 Twitter Instagram followers. Jesus.
And I'm pretty sure at the start of last year, he had like you know, 1% of that.
Oh, my God. Oh, these board games look really fun as well. It's like pastels and...
The puzzles
he's,
you mean.
He's got a chess set or something?
Oh, really? He has actual board games. God, where are you?
It looks like it. Yeah. There's a... Yeah, the checker set. He's not like a fun like checker set and... Oh, this is cool. This is awesome.
This is going to be you and me recommending each other websites for the rest of the episode. Like, why is this episode 3 hours long?
It's websites and Reddit threads.
Yeah, perfect. Did you and Meso have to record any podcasts over Zoom during COVID, or were you mostly...
No, we never did. We looked into it and we split some equipment up so we could do it. But because we're technically media, we could do it.
Right.
And we wrote him a letter that was like, he technically works for us, I guess.
You adopted him.
We adopted him. And so we never got pulled up on it. And what we did do, I don't know if you've seen now.
I have. I was going to say, you've got an enormous base that, like.
Yeah. So we spread out the back, like the bigger room, and we just recorded like 12 feet apart or whatever. And, and that was that. And so he did drive trams for nobody and then come around. We're the only person on the roads and we record a podcast. But yeah.
That's great.
Mm. I know you do a lot of these, so you're probably used to it anyway. But
John and I, with Angus and I, need to record Hey Fam in the same room as each other, or else it's just because I think when you have like, you know, we'll do an effort, we'll sit down to record 2 hours of podcasts with nothing planned. Whereas John and I are very planned, and I think when you have like a, you know, we have the goal is to review and talk about games first and foremost. Mm. Whereas with Angus, I don't know what our goal is.
And
I think we need to be present for each other.
I completely get that. Yeah, because I was reluctant to do it remotely with Mason. Well, we both were because it's like I don't know if this is going to work. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It doesn't matter at this point. Hopefully. Yeah, footy's back, so it's all on. Mason's loving that at the moment. All the fucking footy clouds in the city that he has to drive Melbourne's, around.
From like a DJing point of view, Melbourne's gone like really crazy. You can, there are like 1,000-person raves happening in Melbourne now.
Yeah, it's a, there was a, the MCG last week. There was like 85,000 people in there.
That's insane. We have we've the only way you can have that many people in Sydney is have a Hillsong church meeting.
They're protected by God, so that's fine. Yeah,
I technically live in the Hills district, so I'm actually like, I think if the rapture ever happens, I'll be saved just by like proximity.
Just grab onto a light beam and yeah, out of there.
Well, James, this was a great fun episode. If anyone wants to hear more of James podcasting, he does so twice each week. The Weekly Planet is one, and the other one is Suggestible. Both of those can be found at planetbroadcasting.com. And, of course, your YouTube channel is Mr. Mm-hmm. Sunday Movies. How many episodes a week now? Two?
We normally do about three videos, give or take, but maybe less at the moment because we're not doing The Falcon and Winter Soldier anymore. Because it finished.
Yep, so, it finished.
Yeah.
Have you done an Invincible wrap up video yet?
We have, yeah. That's coming out Monday. So yeah, perfect. It will be out. Yes.
Mm. Great. All right, go watch that, everyone.
By the time this goes out, yeah.
I need to watch that. I watched the first two episodes and I liked the voice acting a lot, but I hated the animation so much.
Well, we do talk about that. Yeah, it's not great, is it? It's kind of, it reminds me of like Dragon Ball. You know what I mean? Where there's like, it's very still and there's a mouth moving, and then somebody punches somebody, and then it's still again.
Totally, like a very, very cheap imitation anime that like my friend Connor described it as whenever they were flying, it's just like someone's dragging a JPEG of the character through the sky.
yeah, that's very accurate. But I think, like you mentioned with the voice cast, I think that overcomes a lot of the limitations
of for
the
sure.
series. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
What are you excited to have like a month of no MCU content until we
get absolutely
slammed by it for the rest of our lives?
I think Collings is more excited because he edits those videos in a really quick turnaround, like less than 24 hours to do like a 20-minute plus video. So we got to find another way so he doesn't die doing that. But yeah, it's going to be like, and then I'd get my Friday nights back, but like, I won't because I don't do anything anyway, so it doesn't matter if I do, you know. Yeah.
Hey, you should.
But I like never-ending content.
I always try and get you to read manga and watch anime. You should watch. There's one season of it's called Jujutsu Kaisen.
All right, I'll put that in the list.
Jujutsu Kaisen. So it's like Jujutsu Kaisen, the first season it's 24 episodes and they're all like 20 minutes long. The manga is really good, but the anime is excellent, and it's like a very like funny and cool fight anime.
Okay, cool. So Jujutsu Kaisen.
Kaisen. Ian.
Kaisen. No.
It's the same anime studio MAPPA who just did that new Flying Lotus anime Yasuke that just came out on Netflix.
I'm sorry, I don't.
It's like the guy. At all. You know Lakeith, what's his name from
from
Lakeith Stanfield.
Yes.
So he voices the main character, and it's the same guy who like worked on the same guy who worked on like the Boondocks back in the day. He's like an American writer.
Yeah. I can't
find his name, but whatever. Anyway, that show on Netflix is fine, but the Jujutsu Kaisen, much better series, very good. I think you might like that.
All right, cool. I might check it out.
After watching like very stale fake anime for Invincible, it's very fluid and fun. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. Excellent. Well, it's getting good ratings.
That's all that matters. Whereas that racing game you were talking about, when I looked it up, the first thing that came up was that it only got a 3.5 from AUPC Gamer Mag. So,
fuck out of here, AU. But no one's even reading that. I'm sorry if you work there. That's mean. It's a mean thing to say. I lashed out. I shouldn't have.
Yeah. So that's it for this podcast. If you would like to hear me and my friend John Valenzuela, who will have a screaming baby with him for all future episodes, I'm sure. We talk about indie games every single week. So come back and listen to another episode if you would like to. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/allthesmallgames. On Twitter, @allthesmallgame, because all the small games is one letter too long. We don't have an S at the end of our Twitter. And I'm on Instagram and Twitter and everything else as LevDog, LevDowg, and James is at Mr. Sunday Movies. Thank you so much for listening.
Oh, I just want to quickly mention as well, my brother's a big fan of the show, so shout out to him.
Hey, shout out to your brother. Your brother that hates Mason?
Mason doesn't like, yep.
Oh, Mason doesn't like him. Ah, but yes. What are his thoughts re-Mason?
He's indifferent, I think, at this point.
Okay, right. Yeah. Indifferent to Mason, but loves my podcast. That's good.
That's right, yeah. Cool. All right, thanks, man.
Thank you so much for doing this
podcast. And congratulations, man. John.
Yes, congrats, bro. Bye.
Cheers.